You can open your Bible, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 1, but I'm not going to read that right away, but you'll be there as I think that'll probably be the first verse we do read, 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm not going to give you the verse number right now. But as you're opening to 2 Peter chapter 1, I want to preach to you a message simply entitled Victory in Jesus. I suspect that this won't be just one message. The topic of, if it winds up being a series, will be walking in Christian victory. It may be a hit and miss series. I don't know. We'll just see. But I know there's no way I can do this subject justice in one service this morning. And so we're going to trust the Lord to feed us. And so basically I'm going to kind of introduce the subject of victory in Jesus this morning. Reintroduce it. It's nothing new probably to any of us who are saved to talk about victory in Jesus. Would you pray with me one more time quickly, asking God to speak to us. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to speak to us through your word. Father, I need your anointing, your ability to teach the simple truths of your word, and we need your help to not just hear with our heads, God, but to hear with our hearts. For your word to penetrate our hearts and impact our lives. Help us to take it to heart. Help us to be stirred and encouraged and challenged and, Lord, to apply your word and thereby be changed. And, Father, we thank you for it in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. Victory in Jesus. Walking in Christian victory. There is victory in Christ. Can you say amen? Sadly, most Christians, I don't think it's a stretch to say this, at least from my experience, most Christians are not really walking in victory. Many Christians, let's say it that way, are defeated, living in a state of general defeat in their lives. That is not God's intent. It is not somehow across the board. There are many Christians gaining victory, walking in victory in their lives, and it is God's intent that you be in that number, that I be in that number, and that we learn how to walk in victory, to put it in those terms. But I want you to know there is victory in Jesus. Now, what do I mean by that phrase? You know, I go on and preach to you, teach you about victory in Jesus. And if we're talking about two different things, or I'm talking about one and you're listening, hearing something else, or you don't understand what we mean by that phrase, then it's not going to get you very far, is it? What we're talking about is victory over anything that controls, dominates, or defeats you in life. Anything that comes between you and God. Be it sin, be it fear, be it any other kind of bondage that dominates you. Paul said in one place, I will not be brought under the power of anything. As a Christian, as an individual who was walking with Christ by faith and experiencing the ongoing victory bringing power, if you will, of Jesus Christ, Paul says, I will not allow anything to bring me under its control. Amen. Nothing is going to domineer me, dominate me. Nothing means nothing. Not everything that dominates people's lives would we be able to place in the category of sin. That's why the Bible says that we're to lay aside every weight, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, if I'm not mistaken, we're to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. There are weights that can dominate our lives. Weights of worry. Weights of fear. I mean, a weight like something that weighs you down. Right? There are weights that burden us that we must and can lay aside. You may not call them a sin, but they maybe become sin to us because they're controlling us. It is an area, therefore, where Christ does not have full control. And God wants to bring us into a walk where He has full control in our lives. And that could sound to somebody like a bondage, but it is definitely not bondage for Christ or the Holy Spirit, however you want to say it. But for God to have full control of our lives is complete freedom. He that commits sin, John chapter 8 tells us, is the servant of sin. They are a slave to sin. You and I can be a slave to something that is not Jesus Christ. And in that realm, we are in bondage and we need victory. If we are a slave to Jesus Christ, that is a slavery that is true freedom. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. And if the Son of God sets us free, we shall be free indeed. God's intent is to set us free from anything that dominates, defeats, controls us. It is God's intent to bring freedom. As I look around, I see individuals who know what it is to have been set free from drugs, alcohol, tobacco. On and on the list can go. How many of you know there are many things that can control our lives that the world doesn't think there's any problem with? But if it's something you run to other than Jesus at any time in your life, if it is something that holds control and dominance in your life, it is something that's got to go. It is something that can go. Not by human effort and strength and power, but by the power of God. I wouldn't want to ruin someone's testimony, but that thought came into my mind to mention that as I looked around here, and there's a man sitting in our midst right now. Maybe someday he'd want to stand up and testify about it. But I remember one day after a few years of following Jesus, he came to me. He said, I want you to pray. I think he said, asked me ahead of time to pray, unless I'm confused and it was someone else. But nonetheless, came to me one day and said, you know, God set me free from what I call cancer sticks. He didn't call it that, but he said, God set me free. He said, you know, I sat down and I said, Lord, I've tried and tried to do this before on my own, and I can't do it. He said, but I've got to get this thing out. This filthy habit's got to go out of my life. And so he prayed, and he said he put him aside, never picked him up again. Amen? That's victory. That's deliverance. Anyone tried to kick that habit on your own? Listen, if you say, yeah, I did it on my own, man, well, that's cool, I guess, but there's going to be something else you can't do on your own. Maybe that wasn't yours. I remember my grandparents telling me, and they didn't know Jesus at the time, but they said, you know, we just decided we shouldn't smoke anymore, and we stopped smoking. You know, there's a few folks around that say, man, I wish it was that easy for me. I've talked to people who've been addicted to drugs. They've been addicted to alcohol. They've been addicted to pornography. They got free from all that, and they said, you know what? I can't seem to kick the cancer stick. Can't kick the stick, huh? Can't get rid of that. You can't, but Jesus can. Can you say amen? There's a host of things that can control our life. You say, I don't think it controls me. I just want it. Well, if you want to know if it controls you, just try doing without it for a day. See what happens. And if you have no problem, then quit. Because why you want to kill yourself? Amen? The reality is those who say, oh, I could quit any time if I want to. I've known plenty of drug addicts who are on different drugs that say that. Can you say amen? Oh, it doesn't control me. I can quit any time if I want to.
Sure you can. Do it then. Do it. Amen. If it's killing you, do it. So I don't think it's killing me. It only kills 90% of the rest of the people that do it. Oh, come on now. You still love Pastor John? So I got to think about that one for a few minutes.
You know, it's kind of sad. I one time was talking about tobacco and later on a person wasn't coming to church anymore. And I talked to the person's wife. Yeah, he felt like you were telling that, you were trying to preach to him. I'm like, I didn't even know he smoked. I don't preach to people. If I preached everything I saw, listen, I'd be so busy preaching in the mirror, I wouldn't even have time to talk to you. But reality is, I just don't get sermons that way. Amen? But sometimes the Holy Spirit lays something in your heart. You may know, you may not know. It doesn't matter. It's all to help somebody. Can you say amen? Because Jesus wants us to be free. So by victory, I'm referring to living an overcoming Christian life in which nothing but the Holy Spirit controls you. Amen? Unless you think about somebody that you think you know something's controlling them, remember this. When you have one finger pointing at someone else, there's at least three pointing back at you. Amen. Lord, what's controlling my life that you want to get out next? Come on, Lord, let's go, because I want nothing between my soul and my Savior. Amen. Anything that comes between our soul and our Savior, you know, in the old-fashioned lingo, we'd say it like this. You got to go then. Amen. It's got to go. Because my life is wrapped up in Jesus. And I want all of Him I can get. You might as well get used to the fact that there's going to be times in your Christian life that there's going to be the dealings of the Holy Spirit to bring to your attention the fact that there's something else that's got to go. And you're usually going to find, I try and I try and I can't. But then, that's where God steps in. Can you say amen? That's where God does His best work. Sometimes that's the only way we learn, even though we might know it here, the only way we learn in our heart that it's got to be the power of the Holy Spirit to help us overcome is by our failure, when we thought we were trying in the Lord's power and we were just really trying partly in self. You see, the Lord really generally, and maybe exclusively, but at least generally, doesn't bring victory in our lives until it's all Him and none of self. That's the real struggle. Somebody said, if I was just a little stronger, I could get this anger out of my life under control. Just had a little more willpower. It's not a little more willpower you need. It's a little more Holy Spirit power. In fact, you need less of self and all of Christ. Now, I know you might be able to look at something in your natural mind and say, you know, I had a lot of willpower and I quit that. There might be some things you do with willpower, but when it comes down to something that's controlling your life, you aren't going to generally get that out with willpower. Just ask Brother Paul. In fact, ask any brother or sister who's been down the pike for any amount of time. Brother Paul sure spoke about it, the apostle, in Romans 7. I'll tell you what, I thank God there's a Romans 7. Because when you feel like you must be some absolute freak, the devil tells you everybody can overcome but you, there's something wrong with you, you can read Romans 7 and say, well, whatever's wrong with me was wrong with Paul the Apostle too. Because he is just as honest and straightforward about the struggle with self that he had as a Christian, lays it out there so clearly in Romans 7. I also thank God there's a Romans 6 and there's a Romans 8. Because as you read it, you'll find out that Romans 6 tells us of the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Romans 7 tells us about the defeat Christians can and will experience if they try with nothing more than willpower to overcome. And Romans 8 tells us about the Holy Spirit taking over, that it's not victory that you have by simply means of that it's deeded to you in Christ, but it's victory that you walk in by a daily life of dependence upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Romans 6, 7, and 8 may be the most important New Testament passage or passage in the whole Bible on how to live a victorious Christian life. Now, I will tell you this. We're not going to do a series on Romans 6, 7, and 8 right now. But we've already did one a year or two ago. And it's on our website at BethanyRevival.com. It's a whole series. I believe it was Romans 4 or Romans 5. I think it was Romans 5. Through Romans 8, 8-10 messages, something like that. And just recently, because I was telling somebody about it, every night I listened to a different message of what was preached during that time. And the Holy Spirit really brought some truth in a very clear fashion. I would encourage somebody that if this message this morning speaks to your heart, set yourself aside. If it takes you 10 weeks, one night a week for an hour, listen to those messages on our website. It can be hard to just read those passages and glean what it's saying. That's why God works through preaching and teaching to help us understand. But the Holy Spirit will be the one giving you insight, and He may well give you insight that wasn't even preached in the message as the Word is being illuminated to you. And it seemed like the Lord really blessed that teaching. And as I listened through it, finding out if I really wanted to recommend that series to an individual that I knew, I got all done and I thought, you know, this is God's Word. It's touching me afresh and anew. It's changing my life. Amen? Because it isn't the preacher. It's the Word of God that changes lives. And so I would encourage you, don't bite off more than you can chew. But if this speaks to you this morning, set aside some, maybe say every night I'm going to spend an hour. Don't try to do that if you can't. Right? Some may say, you know, I can take 1 hour a week. Set that hour aside. I'm going to get alone prayerfully and listen through one of those messages and let the Lord work in my life. And as you go through that, I will be very surprised. Very surprised. If God's Word doesn't touch your life to give you insights into who He is and who you are in Him, and it doesn't bring about some things where God makes some change, and somebody says, "Well, I don't have time for that." Well, if there's another way the Lord's working, that's fine. Make sure you have time for that. But if you just don't have time for that, hey, you got to understand, Pastor, I'm so busy doing this and that. And, you know, I might pray once a week or something. I might go to church once a month. If you don't have time for your relationship with God, you got to make some big changes in your life. Because you can't take everything else you're doing with you. Am I making sense? And everything else you're doing may have its place, but it isn't going to lead you to victory in Christ. If you don't have victory in Christ, you don't have much of anything. I'm not trying to hurt somebody's self-esteem. I'm trying to deal a death blow to it. Can you say amen? Because if we're not who we are in Jesus Christ, we don't know who we are in Christ, we're not growing in Christ, nothing else we're doing really matters. All right. Let's go on and talk about victory in Christ. I want to be very clear about this. And it is this truth: victory has been provided for you and I in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? It has been provided. The price has been paid. If it's been provided in Christ, then it is attainable. It is accessible. Amen? Defeating that which dominates and being controlled by the Holy Spirit, the gentle, loving Holy Spirit who leads and guides, is within reach in whatever area in your life you seem to be defeated. You can overcome, but it's not going to be by human means. Can you say amen? That doesn't mean you don't play a part. But it isn't going to be by human willpower, human strength. Your willpower is important in this sense. You must be committed to going all the way with Jesus Christ. Amen? It takes a made-up mind to serve the Lord. When you read through Romans 7, you see what he says. You not only see that he says he could not overcome in his own power, you will see that he was completely committed. And he never denounces that commitment. He speaks of how that leads him to knowing that that commitment must not just be to his decision, but to the power of God that's available through faith in Christ. That's what Romans 8 brings us into. He ends Romans 7 with this question, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? Oh, wretch that I am. He has spoken of his commitment. I want to obey. I'm committed to obey. You and I will never obey without that commitment, and we must renew that commitment often. But if we think only commitment by itself will do it, we are sadly mistaken. Commitment will keep us on the path of seeking after God and reaching in faith. It won't of itself bring us victory. But it doesn't mean it doesn't matter. Doesn't mean it's not necessary. Amen? It is a part of genuine faith. If you believe God's going to set you free, you're going to be committed to going all out, all the way. You're going to be committed to not sinning. And when you fail, you're not going to give up throwing the towel. You might feel like it. But you're going to realize in your heart that a loving God who saved you and started a work in you intends to keep doing it. And you're going to run to the one who has saved you in the first place, who has brought the answers that you have experienced. You're going to run to him because you are committed no matter what. I'm going to serve Jesus through ups and downs, ins and outs. I am going with God. And I'm committed as Daniel was. Purposed in my heart not to defile myself. Not somehow thinking that that commitment alone will get it done, but it will bring me into the relationship with Jesus of dependence upon him that's necessary to get it done. Victory has been provided for you and me in Jesus Christ. If you still got your finger in 2 Peter Chapter 1, or you got a marker there, actually open it. We'll see how much of my notes we get to this morning. But I don't care if we get to my notes. I want to get to what the Holy Spirit is telling us from His Word. I'm reading 2 Peter chapter 1, mainly verse 3, but I'll begin in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you, Peter says in his introduction, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things. Everybody say all things. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God, by His divine power, through Jesus Christ, it'll tell us that in a moment in the verse, through Jesus Christ has given unto us, has provided for us, supplied graciously for our asking and embracing and taking it, has given to us everything. Each and everything is what it means. That pertains to life. We're talking about spiritual life and godliness.
Everything that pertains to godliness has been given to us. When the devil tells you you'll never overcome, tell him to get lost as you quote God's word to him. Jesus has given unto me everything that pertains to Christian life and godliness. Therefore, I will overcome. Devil, your time is limited. You will be defeated. Get thee behind me, Satan. This has nothing to do with you. This is between me and my God. And my God loves me. My God has started a good work in me, as Philippians tells us, 1 and verse 6, and he will perform it until the day that Jesus Christ comes back for me. Yes, I can make it, devil. You are a liar. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Jesus already laid down his life and shed his blood that I might have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Yes, it's a process of entering into it by faith. Yes, it's a process of getting to know Christ more and more that I might walk in that victory. But it is already given to me. It has my name on it, sealed with blood. And lest the devil doubt it, serve him. Notice that Christ rose from the dead, victorious over sin, hell, death, and the grave. And through death, he destroyed Satan, who had the power of death. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us, serve the devil. Notice you were defeated in the cross, and Jesus made it known to all when he rose in power from the dead. And you can go forward further than that. Rub it right in the devil's face. When Jesus rose, since I'm in Christ, I rose with him. When Jesus was crucified, I was crucified with him. When he rose again, I rose with him that I may walk in the newness of life. Romans 6 tells us, I can walk in the newness of life because of Christ. Devil, take that and go to the bank with that and see how far that gets you. But it's getting me all the way to victory. Not some of the way, because all things that pertain to life and godliness have been given unto me through Christ. All things includes your thing. Amen? It includes the thing that right now might seem to crop up and laugh you in the face. Say, you'll never conquer me. I've been a part of your life for a long time. Well, let me serve you notice. Sin, self, and Satan, you're not a part of my life in Christ. You're only a part of the old man, and you gotta die. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:14 tells us we can mortify the deeds of the body. Maybe Romans 6:14. But nonetheless, those powers of the flesh that want to control us can be made dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Bottom line, we need God. Can you say amen? When it comes to anything of eternal value, we can't do any of it by ourselves. That's one of our big struggles. We're trying to do it by ourselves. And another name for self is the flesh. Don't think when you think of the flesh is just thinking of sins that are the works of the flesh. That's all that the flesh can produce. Think about what Paul said in Romans 7 as you're studying that in the weeks ahead here. Romans 7, and one of the verses there, Paul said this, in me, himself, there dwells no good thing. Then he went on and explained what he meant. He said, that is in my flesh. In my flesh, there dwells no good thing according to God's standards. That doesn't mean there's not some good in people. But according to God's standards, anything of eternal value, anything that's going to really pertain to true life and godliness, it's not found in and of and by ourself. All that self can produce at the best is religiosity. Self cannot produce victory.
Don't confuse religiosity with victory. If all you got's religiosity, if you're honest, you know you don't have victory. Even if it's just in an area in your life. Oh, I've been trying real hard. You need to start trusting harder than you're trying. Can you say amen? We all do. This isn't something for you all. Oh, I got it by the tail. It's not like you go so deep with God that you just got the world by the tail now. You don't have to pray anymore. You don't have to trust anymore. The moment you stop trusting is the moment, whether you've been saved for 30 seconds or 35 years, you start being defeated. Because if it isn't God, it's self. And self can produce religion, but it can't produce victory. Amen? In me, Paul said, that is to say, in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. There you go again, Pastor John, dealing blows to my self-esteem. Well, I spend all my time telling myself how really, truly good I am. I'm just a good person. Wake up and smell the coffee. If you're proud about your goodness, that's not very good. Amen? Because pride, dependence upon self rather than dependence upon Christ, that's the simplest definition of pride. Pride left to dominate a life, the Bible says pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit goes before a fall. You know, it's like the person that said, I've never sinned. And the person sharing the gospel to him said, I know you've sinned because you just told a lie. Well, they say, no, I didn't. I've really never sinned. You know, that, even though I'm preaching to saved people, I expect, as far as I know, everybody here is saved. I don't know. Only God knows for sure, right, where you stand. But assuming I'm preaching to all saved people, that tendency to have wanted to only think the best about ourselves didn't go away when you got saved. You had to reject that and realize I'm completely lost and I need the Savior, right? But that doesn't mean that old self, that old flesh has just vanished now. Doesn't try to rise up. Listen, if flesh isn't put down by the power of God, however you want to say it, will rise up and manifest its works, which are sin. That dependence on self and your own goodness, your own works, your own religiosity, your own efforts, rather than upon Jesus Christ, knowing that you're a helpless, hopeless sinner without Him, and you personally can never change that. If you don't have that attitude, you're going to be defeated. And if you're honest, you look and say, maybe in the natural I'm not defeated. But when it comes to really experiencing what God has for my life, not Him just blessing my plans, but Him truly blessing my life with an overcoming, victorious, in love with Christ spirit. If I'm going in my own power, I'm not experiencing that. Am I making any sense? A lot of words there. Maybe you have to go back and listen to the message online to get it again. How far are we going with Jesus? All right. Did we read 2 Peter? We did. But we didn't finish verse 3. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. There's the finished work of Christ. And when you got saved, you received Him. God has given you all those things. How do we walk in that? Sometimes there's a huge gap between our position and our practice. Right? You're all looking at me like I got six heads. Put it this way. Sometimes there's a huge gap between what the Bible says is who we are in Christ and what we're actually living. Does that make sense? How can I close that gap? How can I actually walk in, and not just in, you know, somebody said, oh, but Pastor, I got rid of those big things a long time ago. What about jealousy, envy, anger? What about a judgmental spirit? Right? What about a looking down at other people because they're not as good as you are? Are those things we need victory over? Y'all are looking at me. So I said, Pastor, we're just a bunch of perfectly holy people. I'm the only one who needs to hear this message this morning. I know you're not thinking that way. But think about it. There are things that we call little that we can't overcome. And if we're just going to accept that, we'll live there. But we can. And how can we close the gap between those little things that stand between my soul and my Savior, that control my life, and the victory that Christ has provided for us? It goes on in the rest of this verse, through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. Who called you to glory and virtue? Anybody want to guess? Well, somebody say it loud. That was real loud. At least I could hear you that time. Who called us to glory? Get ready to say it now. Who called us to glory and virtue?
Jesus.
All righty. Somebody knows. Jesus did. How do we close the gap between what God says has been provided for us and what we're actually walking in as a Christian? It's through the knowledge of Christ. Now understand, generally when the Bible uses that term, it's not talking about it the same way we think. We think, oh, if it's through the knowledge of Christ, I'll go take a bunch of courses about Jesus. Think of it this way. It means through knowing Christ, not knowing about Christ. Now, learning about Him is important, but that's not all that there is. You know, some of the people who know Him the most can't always rattle off all the scriptures to me or to someone else. They can't always perhaps put into words what they experience in their life. They might not be as important as doctrine is. They might not be able, like some people, and it's a good thing, a blessing if you can, to just tell you all the doctrine and all that stuff. That's important to know, especially as if you're going to teach. And it's especially important at least to understand those things to some degree, right? But you don't necessarily have the ability to rattle all that off. But if you know Jesus as He really is, that's what it's talking about here. It's not through knowledge in the head about the Savior. It's through knowing Him in your heart. It's through experiencing Him in your life. It's through leaning on Him as you walk. It's through spending time in His presence, in His Word, and His Holy Spirit is revealing to you who He is. It is through the knowledge of Christ, through knowing Christ. If you and I don't get anything else out of this message, get out of it this, that the more I come to know Jesus in a personal, intimate way, the more I will be able to walk in the victory He provided for me. Amen? That is so important. It is where it's at. It's what Christianity is all about. Some of us for years have had somebody telling us that Christianity is simply a list of rules. Right? I've had people, sincere Christians, tell me that other sincere Christians who were doing Bible studies. I remember somebody one time telling me that they were going to a Bible study in a house and the person was talking about Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Some of you can quote that. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." These were new Christians sitting in this Bible study hearing that. They said, "Brother so-and-so, that's my answer to not fulfilling the fleshly desires that seem to be controlling me as a new Christian. Tell me then what it means to walk in the Spirit." And this is what the person said. It's the wrong answer. "It means you read your Bible and pray." "Oh, I just read my Bible and pray and I'll automatically walk in the Spirit." They were telling them something that is a very important discipline in our lives, but it does not equal walking in the Spirit. If you tell somebody that walking in the Spirit means you read your Bible and pray every day, you are telling them the exact opposite of what the book of Galatians was written to tell us in the first place. You are telling them that by a regimen of works, you will earn the victory. Now, it's very important that we understand that it doesn't matter, even if they're good works, a regimen of works will not earn us favor with God and bring victory into our lives. It is also very important that we understand that the discipline of spending time with God on a regular basis and in His Word is vital in our lives. But it isn't like so many hours of prayer and Bible reading add up to victory. We're not praying and reading the Bible so we can earn or gain victory. We are praying and reading the Bible so we can get to know the one through whom alone we can overcome. It is a vast difference. It might not sound different to you, but as you let the Holy Spirit work, you'll understand it is a huge difference. And it is the difference between teaching what God was telling us in Galatians or teaching the opposite. The problem in the Galatian church, in the churches in those regions, was that after Paul came through and preached Christ to them and they got saved by faith in Christ, Paul moved on. And along came the Judaizers, people who were trying to mingle law and grace. People who came in and said, basically, that Paul's a great guy, and yeah, you need to know Jesus, but it's not enough. If you really want to be right, you got to get circumcised. You got to strive to obey the law of Moses. Only until you've done that are you really right with God. If you want to go on from your salvation experience, basically, you're going to do it in your own works and efforts. And Paul said, they're teaching you another gospel. Amen? Yes, you need. Of course we need the discipline. Three disciplines that are vital in a Christian life. Regular time with God. Regular study of His Word. And regular church attendance are vital in our Christian life. But our mindset towards them and where our faith is makes the difference. Is our mindset, if I do these things, God will have to give me victory? Or is our mindset, God has provided victory in Christ. I'm not trying to earn victory. I want to get to know Jesus more so I can walk with Him in the victory He's given me. I love Him. I want Him. I need Him. I'm not trying to earn something. Do you understand the difference? May the Holy Spirit help you. Some of us, our mindset has been, hey, if you're going to get anything in life, you've got to do it yourself. And in the natural, that's okay. Nobody owes you a living. Amen? There are a lot of folks that think if they can't pay their bills, they just leave messages at the church. Hey, I can't pay my electric bill. Can you guys pay it for me? How many ways do I spell no? I don't even know you. But the mindset today is the church owes me everything. If I can't pay my bills, the church should pay them for me. What kind of Christians are you if you don't do that? The mindset is the government owes me everything, right? Oh, you know, Santa Claus is running for president. Oh, he's not named Santa Claus. He's named somebody who says, we're going to give you free this and free that and free. We're going to put billions toward this and billions toward that. The nation's already $4 trillion. maybe no, $19 trillion in debt. But we're going to give you everything you want. You won't have to work for it. You won't have to earn it. The only problem with that is that you eventually run out of other people's money to give. And we already ran out of it decades ago. I'm not preaching politics. I'm just preaching the truth. In the natural, you got to earn your own way. But that doesn't work with spiritual things. You aren't going to walk in victory because you earned the victory from God by pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and proving to God that you can do it. God already knows you can't do it. That's why He sent His Son to do it for you. You and I have to humble ourselves and admit that and surrender ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and admit that I cannot do it on my own. Yes, I can get alone and seek the face of God and need to. Yes, I can get into the house of God to hear His Word and I need to. Yes, I can study His Word, but those aren't things I do to earn victory. Those are things I am doing to get to know the God who's going to bring victory in my life. That's difference. Now you say, well, Pastor, what does walking in the Spirit mean? Walking in the Spirit means you are living life by the power of the Holy Spirit because your complete faith and trust is in Jesus Christ. That's what walking in the Spirit is. You're living by the power of the Holy Spirit. How do I do that? Give me a formula. There's no formula. It's a relationship. Get to know Jesus. He wants you to know Him more than you and I want to know Him. I'll give you one of my 3 points of my message that I've never got to. And we'll close with this. You and I do have to get our priority, and I didn't say priorities, our priority right to really start down the road of victory. Now you say, Pastor, you said priority singular, not priorities pure plural. Aren't you supposed to say our priorities need to be right? No. Because there are many priorities, but the Christian has one singular priority that all the rest come out of. That priority is expressed to us so plainly in Matthew 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first. That means number one priority, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. The only point of my 3-point message I didn't get to this morning that I'm going to give you is that if you don't have your priority right, the rest of the priorities don't really matter. Amen? Your and my priority must be, I want Jesus more than anything else, and I'm going to seek Him with my whole heart, because only through Him can I walk in victory. I'll close with this verse. It's found, you don't have to turn there, but it's found in John's Gospel, the 15th chapter. I really didn't get to much of what I thought I would this morning at all. But it's John 15 and verse 5. And this is a good thought to let sink into our hearts. Let it become the motto of your life. It says, in part, Jesus speaking, without me, you can do nothing. You, me, He's writing to all of us. Without means apart from, separated from. From, in our own ability rather than His ability. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Now, is He referring to anything? Nothing that has to do with bearing fruit for God. Some of us are doing a lot of things that maybe aren't really adding up to a lot of fruit for God. But we can do nothing that makes us fruitful for Christ on our own, by ourselves. Apart from Jesus. The bottom line is we need, if you'd stand with me to your feet, we need the power of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, which God freely gives to those who are placing their dependence and trust, not in themselves, but in the Son of God. Would you stretch your hands toward heaven? If there's any area that is obvious to you that you are defeated, you're controlled, right now with your eyes closed, your hands lifted, maybe you've tried many times. It has nothing to do with God and what God can do. With your hands lifted and your eyes closed, give it to Jesus. Admit to Him that without Him you can never do it. But you believe, like He said, that through Christ who strengthens you, you can do all things. Lord, I give this to You. Lord, I've tried, I've failed, I've struggled. Lord, it seems to come along and get me down time and again. But God, I'm giving it to You. I'm asking You to teach me. Show me. Help me get to know You to where I can walk in dependence upon You. I give it to You, Jesus. I admit this morning, when it comes to anything of lasting value, without You, I can do nothing. Praise God. If the Holy Spirit has been speaking to your heart as Brother Charles begins to play and sing, would you mind slipping out of your seat? Just coming. Maybe you don't like to kneel. Maybe you got bad knees. But just taking a step of faith to come to the altar, to step out and say in your heart, Lord, I hear You. You're challenging me to come up higher and to admit and acknowledge I can't do it on my own. To recognize there might be some areas, Lord, where self is in the way. And God, I don't know what they are, but I know I want You. I know I want more of You. I know I can do nothing without You. And so, Lord, I come and I ask You to get a hold of me. I ask You to help me. I know a young man who now pastors our church in Everett. He used to pray all the time. He'd say, God, get a hold of me with both of Your hands. Maybe that's the way you'll say it right now. It's whatever you feel in your heart. But God, get a hold of me. Without You, I can do nothing. And you say, Lord, I failed and I failed and I failed. And nobody likes failing. But Lord, I'm going to believe You're going to turn the ashes of this failure. However long it takes, that's all right. I'm going to follow You. I want You. But I'm going to believe You're going to turn the ashes of this failure into the victory of the future. Lord, I want to follow You. I want to walk with You. I must have more of Jesus. Oh, Lord, get a hold of my life. Get a hold of my life. We need You, Lord. Praise God. Go ahead, Brother Charles, if you feel that. Lord, get a hold of us in these altars. Get a hold of us in the days ahead. God, we make a step, a decision here to clarify our priority before You, Lord. God, seeking You first and Your kingdom is what we choose to make number one in our lives.